Hello, this is Anil Kumar, and thanks for joining us for Back to the Bible radio broadcast as we continue the first part of the Heaven series with Dr. John Neufeld. We will pick up on previous study, learning more about what believers will experience in the intermediate state. So let's discover what the Word has to say as we turn now to Acts chapter 17, verse 32.
It is so important to begin to think about what happens to a believer immediately after they die. For those of us who are facing the end of our lives now, this must become a very important part of our thinking. And for those who have had loved ones pass on, they too need hope. Jesus gave that kind of hope to the thief who was hanging next to him on the cross. In Luke 23, verse 43, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We notice that Jesus said it would happen this day, not when I return a second time. And the term paradise speaks of a garden. It also has a reference to a place like the Garden of Eden. The word is used in only two other places in the New Testament. The next occurrence happens in 2 Corinthians 12, 2-4. There, Paul uses it in terms of a vision. There he says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter." Now, I'm aware that this verse is a mouthful, but I don't want to get into it any more than simply to notice that the term third heaven and the term paradise are synonymous. For Paul, the term heaven can be used in three ways. He can speak about the first heaven as simply the atmosphere over our heads. Then he can speak about the second heaven, which refers to space. That would be the place of the sun, moon, and the stars, and so forth. And he can speak of the third heaven as the dwelling place of God. And Paul says that the dwelling place of God is the same location as paradise. So when Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," he means a lovely place, which is the realm that God created to make his presence known. Okay, I said that there are three New Testament references to paradise. The third is found in Revelation 2, verse 7, a message which Jesus gave to the church in Ephesus. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Now, please notice that the reference to the tree of life is first found in Genesis 2:9, where the Garden of Eden is being described, and it has as one of the trees the tree of life. Evidently, Adam and Eve had never eaten from that tree because in Genesis 3, verse 22, after they had sinned, they were driven out of the garden. And one of the reasons given for driving them out was lest that man should reach out his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. All of that to say that when Jesus promised the thief on the cross that he would be with him in paradise that day, he was promising him a garden in the presence of God where he would eat from a tree and live forever. And anyone dying in Christ today is promised that the very same thing will happen to them on the very day of their death. No, you won't go into unconscious existence until Christ returns. You will enter paradise today. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul says in the vision that he had, he does not know if it was in the body or out of the body. And for a great many Bible teachers, the intermediate state is when we live without the body in paradise while we await the resurrection of the body at the second coming of Christ. And that idea of a disembodied spirit has some of us concerned. Even though Paul says that state is better than our state here in this fallen earth, by far, he says, we're less than convinced. Drifting about as a disembodied spirit seems to go against the very essence of the Bible's teaching on the importance of the body. After all, we're not a spirit who happens to live in a body. We are real physical beings who are created to live for eternity. So let's see what the Bible actually teaches about the intermediate state. Let me begin by admitting we don't have a clear teaching on this matter, but we do have a clear teaching on the importance of the body and of the physical realm. So where do we start? Well, perhaps the place to start would be Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus found in Luke 16, verses 19-31. Now, I noticed several features about that story. When the rich man died and was buried, we next encounter him in Hades, and he's in torment. He looks, and at a distance, he sees Abraham with Lazarus being comforted at his side. And then he calls out. He wants Lazarus to bring him water to cool his tongue. Now, if that parable is to be taken at face value, it seems to have all the marks of physical existence, seeing with eyes, and complaining of physical anguish, even speaking about a real physical tongue and longing for physical water. But should we press this parable to make it say that much? Well, clearly the point of the parable is that immediately after death, both the righteous and the unrighteous become immediately aware of their eternal spiritual status. But does that necessarily mean that that status should be spoken of as physical? Well, let's see if there are any other hints in the Bible. The Bible records several occasions in which people actually saw those who had died. And one of those is recorded in 1 Samuel 28, the incident in which Saul calls a medium, and to the woman's surprise, Samuel actually appears. Saul asks, "What does he look like?" And she describes him as an old man, and he is wrapped in a robe. Now, the idea of a physical robe might not be surprising, but it is the idea that Samuel would appear physically old that might strike us as surprising. We might want to compare this with the Mount of Transfiguration described in Matthew 17. Peter, James, and John accompany Jesus onto a high mountain, and there they see Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus, and Peter suggests he make three tents for them, which would indicate that Moses and Elijah came bodily speaking with Jesus. Finally, we might also do well to consider the book of Revelation. Since John describes a scene in heaven, in which the righteous dead appear before Christ and still await the second coming of Jesus, and hence they await their final resurrection body, we might do well to ask, what form of existence do they take? A text that is often considered by Bible teachers is found in Revelation 6, verses 9 to 11. Then he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. Now, let's just stop there for a moment. The picture is a picture of the martyrs. They are pictured as being under the altar. The altar was the place of sacrifice. And they, having been sacrificed on the altar of their faith, are being honored by being allowed to dwell in this sacred place. Well, that's fine and well, but the reader is immediately struck by the phrase, the souls of those. Now, from our reading, it's very easy to say that at this point, they are not pictured as having bodies, but merely existing in the form of souls. Well, as convincing as that might be, I notice verse 11 in which they were given a white robe and told to rest a little longer. The image there seems to be that the white robe is a robe of honor that marks their special place as martyrs. A robe, however, sounds physical, and we're left to wonder how a disembodied spirit should wear a physical robe. Of course, this all could be highly symbolic language, but I notice that whenever language is used to speak of those in the intermediate state, the language is always language which employs physical, bodily existence, and that is entirely in line with what the Bible speaks of as the real essential nature of man. So what can we say? It seems clear that our final state, the receiving of our resurrected bodies, is different than the intermediate state. But we also notice that their existence is better by far from what we now experience on earth, and since the saints in heaven now are portrayed in physical ways, it seems quite probable that God designs an intermediate body for all who die in Christ today. After all, they are in a garden of paradise, they are invited to eat of the tree of life, and when we see them, they're wearing robes and described physically, and so much more. So what should all of this say to us today? Well, don't fear death, and don't fear when this body, which will soon wear out, is laid into the earth. For the moment you die, you will enter paradise, and you will see God, and you will eat, and you will drink, and you'll wear a mighty fine robe. Be content that your God knows what you need to live life to its full, and there will be nothing lacking in His presence in paradise.
John, thanks again for today's message. But some of us might be thinking, in this intermediate stage, in our physical bodies, does that mean our present bodies? Does that mean we are going to have old people there and babies there? And I don't know. What does it mean for us?
Yeah, and that's so hard to answer. And I think it's important for us to say that there are so many questions about the intermediate state that we just simply can't answer. We do know that finally, the resurrection body that we receive in the end is in some way connected to this body. When we get there, what I'm going to say is that even as Christ was raised from the dead and that his body looked like the body which he had and yet was different at the same time, I think that's how it's going to be with us in the final day. The intermediate state, I've just got to say, it remains a mystery, and the Bible does not clarify it for reasons that I think we're going to finally discover. I mean, it may be that some kind of a spiritual body that is different and unique from what we had today.
I hope that today's message has inspired and encouraged you that no matter what stage of life you're in, we can have hope and a better promise when we leave this present earth. Let our attitude be that of the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "To live is Christ, but to die is gain." Be sure to join us again as Dr. Neufeld wraps up the first part of our Heaven series with a message on the final judgment. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. This month, Back to the Bible is celebrating the spreading of the good news. As we celebrate great missionary men and women who obediently and often to their peril deliver the good news of Jesus Christ around the world, as we present the 2018 Back to the Bible Scripture Calendar. Celebrating the Gospel, great men and women of faith, filled with beautiful pictures of the countries and places, personal biographies, inspirational quotes and Bible verses. We know you will be encouraged, inspired, filled with gratitude, and reminded to pray for contemporary missionaries who even now selflessly serve around the world. To receive your 2018 calendar as our gift to you, call us today at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070. Or email us at info@backtothebible.in. That is info@backtothebible.in.